Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, your prosperity gurus, Christine Marie and Julie.
Good evening.
Good evening. Woohoo.
How are you? How the hell are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, everyone. We're Christine Marie and Julie, and we're mother-daughter certified love attraction coaches, aren't we? I'm the daughter. I'm Julie.
And I'm the mama. I'm Christine Marie. Yeah, we are certified love attraction coaches. What else are we? Certifiable.
We're certifiable. And, you know, we have a radio show here in the mornings, Monday through Wednesday, and you know, we're pretty laid back in the mornings, but on Friday nights, we really let our hair down and, you know, I've got my little alcoholic beverage, a little glass, it's a little glass of wine, very little, you know, it's Friday night, hello, and,
it's
you know,
funny.
I mean, I know, and we have guests in the chat room, so if you don't know us, you can learn more about us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, but you have your master's degree, Mom, in counseling and psychology. You taught
I
at the
do,
university
I
level.
Do.
Yeah, you taught at the university level of behavioral science.
I did. You're right about
you're just,
that.
Yeah, you're just a really cool person. You're an intuitive.
and you are, too. You are, too.
I am, too, but
you're
I'm not
teacher.
Even close to the caliber that you are.
Oh, thank you.
Which made it very
oh my gosh.
Difficult growing up. every mother has
our chat room.
Intuition.
Who's in our chat room?
Oh,
is Miss Smokey there?
Not Miss Smokey's not there yet. We've got a lot of guests in our chat room, so I want to say
hello. Oh,
to
cool.
You. And,
hello,
you know,
guests.
Our typical Friday night people, Miss Smokey, and everybody. I love her name. And
empower me, please. And
empower me, please. And yes, and a little light shining. I love that.
Janet.
Yeah. So yeah, they'll come on a little later. But hello to everybody on the chat room. And if you're listening to us right now, but on the chat room, we had somebody ask us this week, how do we get on the chat room?
That's
scroll
right.
down the computer. Sometimes that chat room is below the line, and
mm-hmm.
you may not see it. So scroll
down. I had somebody.
Yeah,
I had somebody ask me on my blog, you know, how do I get on your chat room? I'm like, well, are you talking about the Blog Talk Radio chat room? She goes, yeah. So and I go, yeah, you got to scroll down. You got to find it. Gotta find it. I think her name was Daria or something. So if you see her there tonight,
I will
hello,
say hi.
Daria. Yeah.
But it's gonna be an amazing night.
I'm excited. You know, we're law of attraction coaches, but I love having other people that are well versed in the law of attraction. You always get to, you know, you always get a little more information. And Gary Spinell, author of It Was You All Along.
Yeah.
Understands the nuances. And I love that, Jules, because, you know, so many people run into say, well, you know, I saw The Secret, and I know that there's that lantern, and then I rub it, and then the genie appears, and then I get the necklace, or I get the sports car, or the mansion, and you're like, no.
And
how's that working for you?
Yeah, how's that working for you?
As Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? So it is all about it's about the big laws of the universe, but it's all about the nuances as well. But you asked me how I was doing, and about 2 hours or so before the radio show, I hadn't had my computer on all day and was busy doing some other stuff, and I went to check all my emails, and this thing came up about with thousands and thousands of, like, it said mailer demon, and whatever. And so we called, and evidently somebody took my email address or something and used it for some nefarious scheme. And now I have to, in essence, start all over again, correct?
Well, you have to get rid of your email and get a new email address. And that is not happy. That does not make you happy.
It does not make me happy, but I somehow attracted that. And I sort of understand because I have been feeling for the last several weeks a bit overwhelmed by my emails.
Yes.
Because, and specifically because of Facebook.
Yes.
I probably get 100 requests a day to be on my Facebook page. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So, and so, well, gee, I guess I got my desire, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I know. It's pretty interesting when that happens. I thought to myself, well, you know, Mom, you have been asking, you know, and saying, I have just had enough of my emails. I've hit too many, and I'm overwhelmed, and I don't want to do it. And then all of a sudden, this happened tonight on a Friday night. And the nice thing about this, I mean, it's not nice. Really, you're going to be a weekend without your emails. You'll
that's
be forced
lovely.
To have your emails.
Yeah, I'll be forced to.
And
I know my friend Max, who's a life coach and a law of attraction coach and a certified prosperity guide as well, she always says that when you have computer issues, it means that life is upgrading you.
I love that.
I'll
it's a good
take
way of
that.
Telling the story, right? It's a good way of changing
the
story.
Different way of telling the story. Change it up, girlfriend.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to bring on Gary Spinell, and I adore his book. He's an interesting man, and we're going to talk more about the nuances of law of attraction. I'm going to tell you right now, the secret is like kindergarten, right? And when I saw it, it really got me motivated for law of attraction. I remember going, wow, so I feel different inside. And through the course of living your life, you start, you see things change, and then the real stuff comes along, and you kind of lose focus, and you kind of lose motivation and inspiration for it. And then during the I became a certified law of attraction coach because I wanted to learn more about the law and the subtle differences. And I'll tell you what, reading this book really, it's like taking it home. You know, and this is like a master's program or a college program on law of attraction.
I think what's nice about this book is you and I, we have a lot of feminine energy, and a lot of people that we admire are female in law of attraction. But it really is nice to feel that masculine hand that, as it goes through this book. And, you can feel where he talks about action, inspired action and all of that. So there's a nice thread that I'm enjoying, going through this book.
Well,
so
I totally agree with you. I'm going to bring Gary on right now. Gary, are you there?
I am here. Good evening, ladies.
Hey, good
hello,
evening.
Hello, Gary. Good evening.
It's great to be
Woo-hoo.
Here.
Let me introduce you a little bit because you're pretty darn cool, mister. You've written this lovely book, It Was You All Along. And I love the bottom tagline, an easy to understand guide on how to create the reality you desire. And let me tell you, you've got step-by-step instructions in here. And what I love about you, this book, here you are. You're not telling me you're a gazillionaire and life's been easy and once you got it, you've had no obstacles, You're telling me the real life. You're telling me about, hey, when I got laid off, yada, 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 when this happened, and yet in the midst of this all, you're on this journey of expansion. And, you talk about, like, you spent the last 25 years of your life really researching and examining, why some people, achieve success consistently. And I love that. And, you've also been very successful in the business world. I mean, you're an author. I believe you can get your book on your website, youallalong.com. And I have written that in the chat room. And you've got a wonderful website, very easy to follow. And you can also get it at Amazon. So, you know, Gary, tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me, how did you decide one day to write this book?
Boy, that's a, yeah, it's a loaded question. But the, you gave me a great introduction there. I really appreciate that because I always considered myself, in a way, just to be like everybody else. I didn't think in any way that, oh, wow, I'm better than anybody else. I thought I believe my experiences are typical to everybody else. I've, in my career, and I'm in my 50s, I've actually experienced being laid off 3 times. I've also experienced the painful situation of going through a divorce. And so I said, you know, hey, I'm just like everybody else. I've been there. I've been in your shoes. I've been knocked down. I've struggled against difficult times. I've struggled against financial difficulties and found my way through that because I'm actually a financial analyst almost by trade, by background, and certainly I'm a higher-level finance person now. But that analytical part of me just kept asking those questions and going, but how does this work? How does this work? Why? And you said it before. I wanted to know why people not only achieve success, but there's people that seem to do it consistently. And to me, that's the key word in all of this. How do they make it happen over and over and over again? Because we all seem to be lucky here and there. And you can, you know, people call it luck, but you do get some success somewhere along your life. You've been able to do something. Just landing a job, that's a piece of success. And so I really studied that. I read everything I could. I talked to everybody I could, and from that standpoint, and I began to put the pieces together and then put it into practice. And as I really began to put it into practice and see the effects of it, I said, you know what, I really want to share this with everybody because I felt, like I said, that I'm just a typical person like everybody else, and they could use this information. To me, the difference was I wanted to explain it in everyday common terms that everybody could relate to and not some fancy, sophisticated, you know, high-tech big words and just say, hey, here's a typical situation. This is probably what you encounter, and here's how to get through that.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's what I experienced in this book. It felt real to me. Like I could not just buy into it, but like you were me. You know, you've experienced the same things I've experienced. We've experienced success. And then when I started out with Law of Attraction, I really felt great initially. And then when I wasn't manifesting the huge desires right off the bat, I really started doubting everything. And only through study and going deeper and really learning the nuances is how I got better at it and really took the lid off my life in some ways. And I want you to talk about the nuances about, you know, because I think that's what really makes your book different is those nuances. And how did you come to get to those?
That's a great question, and I felt exactly like you did. You heard about the Law of Attraction, and I had actually started to write my book when The Secret was already coming out, but there were other books before that, and I had gone down that path, but I had, like a lot of other people, you kind of get down the path, and then you get stuck a little bit, and I used the analogy of it's kind of like you taught somebody how to play basketball. I mean, the basketball playoffs are going on, so those folks are a little more sports-minded. But it's like if you taught somebody how to dribble the ball, and you taught somebody how to pass, and then you taught somebody how to shoot, and that's all they did for a long time. And they got great at it. And they could shoot from anywhere on the court. They could pass. They could dribble. But then you said to them, okay, now we're going to play a game. And the person says, wait a minute. You mean there's going to be 5 other people over there trying to take the ball away from me, and they're going to put their hand in my face so I can't shoot when I'm trying to shoot, and they're going to, you know, they're going to bump up against me when I'm trying to pass? And that's what I found that it was like. Yeah, learning the Law of Attraction was great. I learned how to shoot the ball, and I learned how to pass, and I learned how to dribble, and that to me was kind of like the, hey, okay, you visualize it and you meditate on it and you write it down and you think about it every day, and those are all great fundamentals. But then when you got out there and all of this other stuff's going on, you're like, oh, my gosh, what do I do? Because life is complicated. Relationships are complex. You know, our career is complex. family issues, on and on and on, because they are so complex because they involve people, and you can't simply force other people to do what you want. And so the nuances start to take effect. And one of those nuances I found is and it's going to sound so simple, and yet it's right in front of us, and that's patience. And what I mean by patience is the creating process has to take time to unfold. What's really fascinating, and I write about this in the book, is that we have in our time and space continuum here, we on Earth, we can destroy something in an instant. You can destroy a building, you can destroy a relationship, you can destroy, you know, your business, anything you can destroy literally in an instant. But to create it, if you've ever noticed, it takes years to build a new stadium. It takes years to build a business successfully. It takes years to really build a great marriage.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's about with anything else, is that we have to realize that just give the creating process some time. That's the nuance. It's like when you take it, you're baking a cake. You put the cake in the oven, and it's got to take 45 minutes to bake, and you just got to sit there and wait while that cake is baking. What happens if you turn the temperature up? You go, well, wait a minute, let me turn it up an extra 50 degrees. You ruin the cake.
Mm-hmm.
You
absolutely
just have to let the cake bake.
Well, I know some people say, well, you know, while I'm waiting for my cake to bake, I'm experiencing obstacles. And so doesn't that mean that the universe is trying to tell me that I shouldn't be doing this?
Yeah, that's a classic.
It is.
And actually, to me, one of the – where I think that comes into play is one of these other nuances that I talk about is that we want validation.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is most everything that we do in life, because we live in a very physical, tangible world, you can see results. I mean, even if you're walking, you take a step forward, you can see visibly what you did. I go out and cut my grass, I get the lawnmower, you know, I go all the way down one side of the yard and come back, and I can stop and look, and I can see what I've done. If I'm building a house, I can see the house be built, you know, where the progress is made, even when you're building a business or whatever it is. You can tangibly see the progress you're making. But most of the time, when you're really in that pure creating process, you don't get to know that you've reached the goal until the end. If you're wanting to be, promoted, you don't get the promotion. You don't know you have the promotion until your boss comes up or the boss's boss comes up to you and says, you've just been promoted. For years and years and years, you could do everything you possibly can. You could go to school. You could take courses. You could work nights. And those are all the very valid things to do, but you don't know until the last second. And while we're waiting, we get anxious. And we all do. I mean, I do. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of want to go, is it ready yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? If you go to a restaurant, you sit down at a table. It's a restaurant you've been to a lot of times. You know the food's good. And you give the waiter your order. You don't call the waiter back over 5 minutes later and go, here, let me give you that order again. And then you call him back over 5 minutes later again. And I'm like, sure, let me give you the order. And how's it going? And, you know, 5 minutes later. And then eventually you go back into the kitchen and you go, I'm just checking on my order. You don't. You got to just let the order cook and take its time. But we all want that validation. And the nuance is that when you have to keep asking for validation, what you're really saying is, you know what, I'm afraid it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you really are tapping into fear. And in the meantime, while you're busy asking over and over and over again for your order, you're missing out on the beautiful restaurant, the nice glass of wine, the great conversation, you know, the wonderful music at the piano bar. So you're missing out on your life by the actual emotions that actually bring things to you quicker, which are the higher frequency emotions like joy, happiness, positive expectation, all those good things.
You were spot on, and there might have been something in that experience at the restaurant that provided you some information that would have helped you on your journey.
Yes.
And I think this is a good point that we talk about. Christine and I talk about And Gary, God, give me, you know, Ledge, some of them call her Mama, Christine Marie, honey. So any of those words she'll probably answer to. But
that's
I'll make sure I call you Gary. So if I say sweetheart, I'm talking to my mama.
Don't worry about it.
Didn't want to sound like I'm coming across, kind of fresh, you know. But one of the things in your book that I adored is you really hit home this idea of patience. And I used to use the word hit home because you use the analogy of, like, first base successes versus home runs and how we miss, you know, we're so into the home run that we forget that it is the first base, you know, the first base hit that gets us there. But Christine and I talk about this idea that we that the one of the laws of the universe or principles is this idea of be, do, have, instead of what we all were trained to be in the beginning is have. If I have the $1 million, then I can do all the things I want to do, and then I'll be real cool and I'll be a good writer. But in reality, it is, you know, we be the essence. Okay, if you want to be that published author, you got to be that author first, which is you must
write every day.
You've got to write every day.
That's right. And you've got to feel like a published author, you know, and whatever you imagine those feelings would be.
Yes, and then you do those actions from that spot. So you are, you know, you feel that what it feels like to be an author, you know you're an author, you then behave like an author. What does an author do? On a consistent basis, before you ever even have your book, you know, you just didn't rub the lantern and the genie and then get your book done. There was work involved.
You better quit rubbing that genie, girlfriend.
I better stop rubbing that genie. It's not that late on a Friday night. So I love that idea of patience that you have. And can you go, I don't put you on the spot here, Gary, because, you know, I know I can't expect you to memorize your whole book, but I love the analogy of the difference between hitting a home run and a first,
single.
Thank you, Mom, and how important that is.
There's actually a couple of things wrapped up in that concept at the same time. And one is that we, and I talk a lot about it in the book, is that we're a very impatient society. We've just built ourselves that way over the generations. And so everything is about, you know, the fastest speed you can get on the internet and how fast you can get your food, and everything is faster and faster and faster. And so here I am saying, but you know what, you really need to have patience. It's very counterintuitive to everybody. And that's part of what I'm saying is, but you know what? You can't, it's not going to happen in an instant. So you have to take your time. And that's part of the reason why, well, we all want to hit the home run because we all want it now. So let me just, hey, I'm going to get up there and I whatever it is, the goal that I have, you know what? I'm just going to shoot for it and see if I get it all, because that way I can have it all now. Where I've always admired the hitter, the player in baseball who every game could get a base hit. To me, the consistency of that person every day going to work, doing whatever they're doing, going at their job, you going at your goal, and you just putting that one foot in front of the other, getting that one step closer, the consistency factor is so significant. Then, because remember, there's a story. I mean, I don't know what the stat is, but you take Babe Ruth or whoever, you take some great home run hitter, but I think it was specifically Babe Ruth, and he actually struck out, I think, more times than he hit a home run.
Exactly,
and yet he's remembered for being, you know, at that time being a home run hitter, all-time home run hitter.
Imagine if he would have just quit because he goes, well, I struck out, so I must have mean I'm baseball's for me, you know. We have a good a client who speaks Italian, and I'm not going to quote it in Italian, but the translation that she likes to say is, what goes slowly goes well, what goes well goes far. And you can just feel the energy behind that, you know, that there is this sort of like this relaxing, you know, enjoying your meal and enjoying whatever it is, as opposed to this rush, rush, rush. And Julie and I have a little saying, we call it buffer time, you know, and I think the analogy that we like to use is, what is the bamboo? That bamboo, it takes a long time. In other words, it's, even though it's planted, it takes a long, long time, but yet when it pierces the ground and shoots up, it literally grows feet and feet and feet within, a very short time, few weeks. So there is that long buffer time, I'm not saying that it's long, but that happens. But then when it hits, boy, and usually that buffer time when it hits is because you're in alignment.
Yeah, yeah. You know, pick something that you have as a goal, and maybe it's learning to play a particular instrument. Well, again, you're not going to learn that instrument in one day. I mean, you can visualize that all you want and try to use the law of attraction, but you're just not going to be a great piano player or trumpet player or whatever it is in a day. And, there's that old joke about, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And they say, practice.
Practice, practice, practice.
And the thing is that as you become that great musician, to your point, what you get is a huge appreciation for music along the way, or whether you wanted to be a professional sports player, or you want to be, the best engineer or the computer person. It does take some time and years to do that, because then you learn the intricacies and you have so much greater appreciation. I've watched my sons, who are now in their 20s, but go through. My older son played a lot of sports, and he was actually pretty good. And I believe he can handle life so well today because he learned how to lose and he learned how to win, and all the practices mm-hmm. that he went through and all the effort and the sweat. That
Gary, are you there? I think we just lost Gary.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm here.
We just had dead air for a while. Okay, good.
Just for a second. That's good. No, go ahead.
Yeah, you're talking about your son
playing.
Yeah, and that everything that he went through during those years of playing, he had to deal with defeat. He certainly felt victory, but all the practices, all the sweat, and nobody could take that away from him as to what that's mm-hmm. made him appreciate. Mm-hmm. And he's applied it in his business today, and he's starting to be very successful at his young age.
Mm. Well, I think you bring up an excellent point, which is the experience of incremental change. Yes, everybody would like to just in a heartbeat, take the golden ring, get the big prize. But it really is truly is incremental change that if you think of it as the rungs on a ladder, you go to the second rung and you own that, and then you go, you earn the third rung, and it'd be different. Maybe you could take a quantum leap, but if you haven't done the steps, if you haven't done the incremental change, I'm not so sure you own that. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but you might see yourself sliding down those rungs on the ladder because you haven't really done the true experiential work.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. There's a quote by Einstein that he said that if time didn't exist, everything would happen at once. When you think about it, that's true.
Exactly.
So, we live again in a world where time exists, and time is there for that purpose, so that you can appreciate, just like you said, when you're in that restaurant, it's the opportunity to experience every aspect of that situation. But so
yes.
much, what do? We go in there, we eat in a hurry, we kind of choke down the food, and boom, we're off to another thing, and we miss the ambiance of that entire experience, which
right.
is what we helped create. And then we
yeah.
wonder down the road, we go, well, gee, you know what, I'm just not getting that information. If I could just get some information to tell me how to go on to the next step. And it's like, well, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we filter so much in our lives
mm-hmm.
and that's one of those reasons, like, okay, well, today you're going to go through the day again because you missed it yesterday. Okay,
that's right.
Go through another day, and we'll see if you pick it
right.
up, catch it this time.
So how does one, if one is new to this, how does one begin mastering the moments, the messages? How does one begin to interpret the messages? I know you mentioned in your book dreams and meditation. Is there any other things that you can suggest?
Oh, certainly those are very valid, and I'll talk with those in a little greater length in a couple of minutes, you know, about dreams and intuition. Let me first say that it's simply to change your perception of what goes on around
you. Love it.
You're
up my favorite territory because we've been reading Marianne Williamson, Course in Miracles, and the first definition of a miracle is that shift in perception, you know.
Oh, it is, and that's why I start there, and I use the analogy of, matter of fact, I'm in Dallas, and it rained today. Well, if I had wanted to go out and play golf today, I'm going to have a little different perception of the fact that it rained versus if my next door neighbor who just planted a whole bunch of grass and flowers and some nice bushes and was really hoping it was going to rain. Well, one person can be pretty upset that it rained and the other person can be overjoyed and they think something happened to them when all it did was rain.
Right.
And so it's to step back and take a look at your perception of it raining, because our perception then turns into a thought and belief and saying, gee, this happened to me. And as you know, I write in the book, and I know you believe it, is nothing happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the perception that has to change. And once you start to see that, oh, wow, you know what, I just reacted to that. Well, that's because I perceived it in a particular way. Change your perception and automatically changes your belief.
That is such a good point, because we create, this is where we start off at. We start off in saying we create everything in our life, every situation, every scenario. Now, when you can get your head around that, it becomes freedom. Because then you know, if I created this and my beliefs create this, because I know that you believe that your beliefs create your reality, and it's really
and you
your perception. You know, and so once you get your head around that, then you get to go, okay, well, now I can create my present and my future moments. And it's just a shift. You know, the guy who was going to play golf and it started raining, you know, he could be really ticked off, or he could come from the space of trusting his world and going, oh, well, I must be meant to da-da-da-da-da-da, work on my book, clean my garage, you know, take time to chill, be with my family, you know. A hundred other experiences that give his life joy and meaning, instead of some people going, I can't believe I can't play golf, my only day off. And so there's that difference. It just was raining.
And and also, if you're kvetching about it raining, guess what? What you focus on expands. So you're going to get a lot more rain in your life. You know, you're going to get more of that feeling of being disappointed, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a huge motivator to stay in the fluidity of the moment, stay in the experience of the moment. And it's almost like, I don't know why this quote is coming to me, Gary, but, you know, it's almost like energy cannot be created or destroyed, but merely transformed. And it's almost like we're transforming that experience, even though it rained and we wanted to, you know, play God. We are the transformers. We transform the energy of the rain into something, you know, more flowing, you know, not sticking to us, or, boy, now my day is ruined, or something like that. Am I kind of in that good territory there?
I often tell people if they've ever been around somebody who's really positive, you know, they're just always in a good mood. You can't stand these people. But they're always in a good mood, and you love being around them. And it's that energy that they radiate, and they fill you with that energy, and you feel good. And, of course, conversely, if you're around somebody who just seems to have a negative attitude all the time, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, this happened. You know, I had to go through this today, and, of course, everything happens to them, and my car broke down. And they do. They literally, it's like they suck the energy out of you. and I, you know, I use that as an example to say this is what we're talking about and you're talking about with energy and energy transference, and that energy doesn't go away. It just moves around. And when you realize you control the flow of that energy, then, then your life's different.
You're right. And I like the idea that, you know, you talk about, you know, that we are creators, and we do create 24/7. And the consciousness factor to become awakened and aware is to become a deliberate co-creator in the universe, as opposed to just creating all about you by default. And you go, whoa, look at this mess I got myself in, and how did I do this? You know, so to actually become this conscious, aware, awakened human, that's the goal, isn't it?
Of course it is, because I heard something the other day. It was a little twist in the explanation. I mean, certainly for years and years and years, I mean, we've all been taught that we were created in God's image. And somebody said, no, that's actually not the right words. It wasn't that we were created in God's image. I guess it was we were created as God's image. And what they were referring to is that God is a creator, and hence we are as well. And, of course, there's that age-old analogy of if, you know, you take a bucket of water out of the ocean, you know, do you still have the ocean in the bucket? And it's so true, because we are the essence. We still have that essence of what God is. And God, yes, besides being a loving being, the next thing that you could really say about God, he or she, is that he or she created. And that's what we're here for. And that's why, to me, I go back to the time aspect of it and the patience aspect of it, and because that's what we're here to do. If you take kids to a beach and you watch them for hours building the sandcastle, and it's so intricate and they're loving it, and they'll stand back and watch it and they'll go, wow, isn't that great? And then all of a sudden they go, whoa, and the arms are waving and they destroy the whole thing. And they don't care. And then they go, well, and you ask them, why did you do that? And they go, well, that's okay, I'll just build another one. But it's because they understand the idea of creating, because they just say, hey, that's okay. I loved it. I appreciated it. I learned a lot. Now I'm going to go do another one. We as adults, we get bent on that and go, oh, my gosh, you just destroyed it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's like having a blank canvas to just paint yourself a new reality. That's a phrase I came up with, and that's what we're able to do.
Oh, that's so awesome. Hey, what do you tell people, though, that are, you know, experiencing these, down times, and, you know, they're raising their fist to God and saying, why me? Why are you punishing me?
Well, yeah. that's where I've been, and one of those things, of course, that I learned, that saw that we learned in school and we were taught, whether through religion or everywhere else, is that we did project that system of justice and reward onto God and assume that God handed out punishment and reward to all of us. And I talk about that in the book because I said, geez, let me walk through this whole logic of punishment and reward. And I came to the conclusion, I said, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out when God's being, you know, rewarding somebody and when he's punishing, because sometimes when you punish somebody, it turns out to be a reward. You know,
exactly.
And we all do that. And we're sitting, you know, we go through life and go, now why did that person, you know, how did they end up with something beneficial and this person didn't? And eventually you go, that theory doesn't work at all. And I just threw that theory out, and you end up back to where you and I, all of us are talking about, and that we just create it. And we get to go about, we kind of get to fall down, we get to pick ourselves back up and go on. And actually, to kind of like what you said earlier, is once you get to that point, you kind of go, oh, wow, now I understand. Oh, my gosh, this is a whole lot easier. Because I couldn't figure out, you know, whether to turn right or turn left before, because I didn't know whether I was going to get punished or reward. Well, there isn't any. You know, if my son, when my son's in school, and if he doesn't do his homework and doesn't study and he doesn't pass the test, well, then he created that. Nobody did anything to him. If you and I, you know, were drunk and show up for work or whatever and get fired, well, we did that. And I know you know that, and I said, but that's what it is. So the answer to that person that says, gee, why did God do this? No, we created it ourselves. And it's okay, because God's going, you know what, keep at it, because eventually you're going to figure this out, and you won't keep making that mistake.
Right.
And that's why you've got a whole lifetime, and you can try it again.
Well, and we have some chat going on the board about relationships, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, Gary, I want to give you just a minute break to have a drink of water, and I'm going to do a little, you know, first of all, you can learn more about Gary on his website, and I put it out there. It's You All Along, just youallalong.com. And great website. And also you can learn more about Christine Marie and I at christinemarieandjulie.com. And there we've got a lot of great free stuff for you. You can sign up for our free ebook, 21 Days to Manifesting Your Three Big Dreams. And, Mom, you usually say at this point,
I
hey,
know, I
you're
going to
get your three big dreams in 21 days.
I was going to give you a break, but I do. I usually say, does that mean I'm going to get all my three big dreams in 21 days? And then you go.
No, you're on your way.
Exactly.
And it all depends on how big your dreams are.
Right.
You know, if you have incremental change, yeah, you can probably create some of that in 21 days.
And also, we have a whole big section of that book on clearing the clutter, because it's so important to clear the clutter in your life to make space for all the new stuff that comes in. Because you just can't, I don't know, I think it's in the Bible. It says you can't fill new wine and old skin, something like that. But tell them about Prosperity Postcards, too. That's free, and maybe play the song.
Right, exactly. And I will play the song, thank you. And you can get, Christine Marie and I also offer a free daily audio Prosperity Postcards. And you can get them on our website as well, christinemarieandjulie.com. Just click on free postcards. Or you can go to prosperitypostcards.com. And they're just 1 to 3 minutes long in your inbox every morning. And they're fun. And the bloopers are hilarious. But I'll play a quick song to give everybody just a little more time to get their water down. And then we'll get right to relationships, because I had a couple questions about relationships on the chat board. So
all right.
We'll talk about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A three-letter word that comes after dot, invented by Al Gore, and he knows what's hot. The COM stands for community. So log on, baby, come on, it's free. I say prosperity, you say postcard. I say prosperity, you say postcard. Prosperity,
postcard,
prosperity,
postcard.
.com. Noah's little honey from East St. Louis. First name Christine, middle name Marie. She has a fly daughter, she's calling Julie. They're sending out postcards of prosperity. I say prosperity, you say postcard. I say prosperity, you say postcard. Prosperity,
postcard,
prosperity,
postcard.
.com.
Oh, great. You know what? I love that song.
I know.
Yeah. And it's so funny, though, because as soon as I talked about relationships, the person who needed it left the chat room. So I'm like, oh no.
Well, I just want to say, even though I'm just going to say here, even before that we end the show in 15 minutes or so, I think that Gary is welcome back here anytime.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank
open invitation,
you.
Gary.
I would love to do that some more.
Yeah, because you are spot on, Miss my
right.
man.
Well, that's a date.
All right.
Not a formal one, see?
Across the radio waves. I love it. Mm-hmm. You know, well, we can talk a little about relationships, because really this has come up a lot in the last couple weeks for our clients. So I think it needs to be addressed in a lot of different ways. You know, and we've all gone through relationship issues, and using our processes that we have and our tools, how do we start creating the life we want when there's other people involved? One of the questions one of the people had in the chat room is, how do I begin, you know, changing myself, and how can I change others? And, you know.
That's going to be a long time.
My wife's still trying.
Go, exactly.
You know that place called hell? Well, when it freezes over.
And you can change someone else. Exactly. And I think we can all go
ahead.
What are your thoughts on that, Gary?
Yeah, certainly a couple of things. And I went through this, and that's why, I mean, I can relate to it. Having gone through the divorce, and then you say, okay, you know, what do I do now? Where do I start? What is it that I'm really looking for? What makes sense? And first of all, it took me a while, but I got very clear on the type of person that I wanted to bring into my life. And certainly that's where the visualization came in, and I wrote it down. I think I wrote down 30 different attributes of what I wanted this person to be like, and I did. I even had a visualization in my mind of what she looked like. So that's number one, because when I met some women along the way, they would say, well, I know what I don't want. And I said, well, that's great, but you need to know what you want.
Absolutely.
And that was really fascinating to me, because they said, well, I know what I don't want. I said, well, then, you know, that's what you're going to keep mm-hmm. getting, is you're going to keep creating a lot of what you don't want.
Exactly.
Well, that ain't working for you. So I said, okay, well, so that's really step number one. But step number two is I looked at that list, and I said, you know what, I need to do my best to become what is on that list of what I want of this potential spouse. Now, it's not that I needed to be match at 100%, because it's not that we had to like and dislike everything that there is in life, but certainly the attributes needed to be there. And so I said, well, you know what, I'm going to take a look at this list, and is there anything that I could do a little better or be a little bit better at? And I went about working on myself to go do those things and mm-hmm. become that better person and make sure that I was everything that I could be. And it was interesting, because the more I became who that person that was on that list, which was really what I wanted in matching myself, it was really interesting. The women that I met along the way, more and more, they started to match closer and closer and closer to what I had on the list.
Mm.
A lot of that because I was becoming that list in so many ways.
Yes. Yeah.
Brilliant point.
Awesome.
And so here's the way I want to say, because you're back on the chat room, yay. You know, when you're experiencing something that you're going through right now, and someone is, you know, cheating on you, and even if it's a long-distance relationship, the first thing, if you can step out of the situation knowing that the universe does have your back and go, okay,
mm-hmm.
I am being shown quite a bit of contrast here on what I don't want, and I don't want to focus on that, but I get to now choose what I do want. And like you just said, Gary, you took time to write out exactly what you wanted in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that the universe does go and starts working things out. And if you think of the universe as a dove, if you hold on to the dove so tightly that, okay, I want a man that adores me, loves me, and will not cheat on me, and I want to be Frank. I'm just throwing Frank's name out, you know? Well, the universe is not given an opportunity to give you back what you want, because you're really having
holding on too tight
on the outcome. But if you release the dove, release the universe can then line you up with situations where you're moving toward that. And like you
and
said.
Also too, Jill, you know, we say this or something better.
Yes.
You know, so that we leave room for novelty, for fascination, for, you know, like, hey, universe, surprise and delight me, you know?
Yeah. And
you know,
just like you said, go ahead, Gary, I'm sorry.
No, I apologize. I write about this in the book as well, as what I saw and as I went through this process too, is we all seem to know somebody who is in a relationship that we know isn't going anywhere. And they know it's not going anywhere. And yet they remain in that relationship. And here's one of those huge nuances that I talk about. And you say to this person, you say, well, look, you know you don't want to be in this relationship, so, you know, what do you think? And they say, well, you know what? I'll leave this relationship when I find somebody better.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay. And so 6 months mm-hmm. goes by, and, you know, you catch back up with that person, and they're in the same relationship. And you say, well, I thought you were going to, you know, potentially see if you could move out of the relationship. And you say, well, I haven't found anybody better. And you say, well, wait a minute. When you start asking them some questions, just to say, well, let's go down this path a little bit and think about this. You say, well, have you tried to meet anybody? Well, no, not really. Well, what if you totally left the person you're with and went off on your own? Well, then you start to hear that, well, you know, gee, it's, you know, what if I never find anybody better?
Mm-hmm.
Or, gee, you know, I might end up being alone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have spent a few Saturday nights by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the fears that are really underlying the whole process of why no one's coming, because the fact you're staying with that other person, you're telling the universe, I'm okay with the status quo. And so the universe says, well, you got what you want, so I'll just keep giving you the status quo.
Well, you know, this really leads us to, I think, a great subject or topic, because right now, if you just talk to a lot of people, you know that there's a lot of fear on the planet right now. There's fear of failure, there's fear of the unknown, the fear of the future. How do you address fear? How do you turn it into, that adventure, especially when, listen, life's kicked you around a little bit. You've been disappointed.
You're spot on, and 95-98% of the problems that people have are all based in fear.
Yes, exactly.
We talk in negative terms. Let me just for a second to digress for a second. It is amazing the way we talk to each other. You could have a great idea or a great concept in our conversation here, and you tell that to me, and I would say, yeah, that's not bad. And I go, what do you mean, not bad? Why wouldn't I say that's pretty good? But everything we say, that's not bad,
Yeah.
Or if something happened and I did something to you, or maybe I was late or whatever, and you go, well, that's no problem. We are so bent on things not happening, not getting what we're able to create, that our first reaction is negative, and it's all built out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is blown up in our heads way beyond what it ever really is. And every time in my life when I've simply faced that fear, there's all the, everybody says, okay, God will open, closes one door and opens another. But you've got to go through that door. So if you're in a relationship that's not working, you've got to leave that relationship and go out there, because it's the only way that you're going to be able to find that. There's a saying that says, mm-hmm. when you want to grab onto something new, you've got to let go of what's in your hand. And that's it. So you've got to take the step. And every time in my life when I've gone through that door, what was on the other side was 10 times better than I ever imagined. And that's the fear, is we think, well, maybe what's on the other side isn't any better. Well, maybe it's not worth all of the effort. I can handle it just being here. Those are the fears we create because we don't understand the and have the imagination of what could possibly be on the other side, and just let it happen, face it and go through it, and I guarantee you will be better off on the other side. I've done it.
Yeah.
I found the person that I want to be with for the rest of my life. I've had success in my career.
When you walk through that door with a little bit of courage, you also get to stand there and face the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror and get to know that person.
Yeah.
And once you know that person, then you're you've got something to give to another person as well.
Yeah, hopefully to try to add some more to the person in your chat room on relationships. Here's one of those perception things. Step back and look at what you're experiencing with that other person, and how you can key off of that is through your emotions. So if you're figure out what you're feeling when something, you have that disagreement or just something that other person does or the situation unfolds and it invokes an emotion in you, step back, go off somewhere and say, what's that emotion? What do I feel here? And maybe you feel jealousy or you feel anger for a particular reason. Determine why you feel that. And generally there's a belief behind that that created that emotion. And then you can say, oh, wait a minute, this is what happened. This is why I have this belief. This belief's creating that emotion.
Yes.
And then you say, that no longer works anymore, and I can go off and do something different.
Excellent. I mean, so many times when you get down to that core belief, you think mistakenly that that's you. But it's not. You are, somewhere along the line, you learned that belief. You weren't born with it. So if you can learn it, you can unlearn it. But so many people go, well, you don't know me. That's just who I am,
Yeah.
And I want to say, no, it's not.
Yeah, there's a technique in the book I call the five whys. That's a common phrase, and it's like when Julie, probably when you were much younger, and you said to your mom, why is the sky blue, and she would give you an answer, and then you'd go, why, and she'd give you another answer, and then you'd go, why, and after about the fourth time, she was ready to strangle you. But we need to do that with ourselves. And when you're walking down that emotion and that belief path, well, why did you feel this jealousy? Well, I felt it because of this. Well, why did you feel that? Well, I did this. And eventually you'll get down to the core, and that'll walk you right through to that belief. And then you can say, yeah, you know what? I've had that belief since I was 5 years old. Geez, mm-hmm. And that was because of X, Y, and Z. Yeah, gee, and I'm using that belief, I'm taking that into my relationships, and no wonder I'm having trouble.
Yeah, you're using a belief that you acquired when you were 4 or 5, and you're trying to apply it to your 30-year-old life.
Yes, exactly.
It's crazy, but that's what we end up doing.
Sure do.
Yeah, I know we only have about 5 minutes left, but I just want to touch base real quick, because in your book you talk about the dynamic force number one and the dynamic force number two, and it's that number two that I love. It's about the faith and the trust. And that we must want it and allow it and allow the forces to work. And you also say in the book, which I thought this was great, is like expect the best, that God will take care of it, and then be prepared mm-hmm. that the best will happen. And when you think that the best is going to happen, how do you behave? How do you act knowingly? If in a relationship you know that the right person is out there, and you know that you've asked in God or the universe, whatever suits well, is going to bring that person to you, well, how are you behaving now knowing that? And I just love that premise of trust and faith. And how did you, how do you use that in your success, trusting?
Well, I'll tell you the true story in regards to relationship. When, if you go back to the list that I created, I wrote down all of that sort of thing, and I'm a huge animal lover. I give money that I take in from the sale of my book and things like that, and I give that to animal shelters. And I wanted to I wanted to be with somebody, obviously, that was also an animal lover as well. And now we have 2 dogs and 5 cats and animals, birds outside and squirrels and feeding. We've got bird mm-hmm. feeders, et cetera, et cetera. But while I was, waiting for her to come into my life, I said, well, wait a minute, I'm an animal lover. Well, let me go, instead of just being an animal lover, let me go do something. And so went to the local animal shelter and signed up and volunteered, where one day a week I would go down for about an hour and I would walk the dogs. They needed some exercise. So I said, wait a minute, I need to be more of that person. And that was, to me, my way of saying, yeah, I'm expecting this person because here I am doing those things. I couldn't, at that point in my life, living in an apartment, really, it didn't make sense to have a dog and, start to do that, because all of the animals we have now, we've adopted from animal shelters. Back then, I said, well, I can't live it one way, but I'm going to go live it another way and prepare in that way.
Mm.
Awesome. That's a great point.
My wife and I met on the internet, and when she saw that I actually was an animal lover, she didn't believe me because she thought that was like a great come on line,
No.
You didn't go to that shelter and walk those dogs. I said, yeah, I did. You can check it out.
That's great. I love that.
That's actually a true story. The other thing is, in that whole preparation mode, maybe at the holidays, I invited you to my house and said, hey, next Tuesday, come on over. And so what am I doing in the meantime? I'm setting the table and preparing the food and all those sorts of things in anticipation for you coming over.
Yes.
That's what I would do in preparation and anticipation of you coming over. I would go about knowing, okay, well, I know you're coming over, so I'm going to go do all these things and wait for you to ring the doorbell and come on in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Well, I just want to say, Gary, it's time for our show to end, but it's been a pleasure. And you can get your
very
book,
practical.
Even on ebook, Yeah, very practical, very insightful. At youallalong.com, youallalong.com. And you can get the ebook right now if you wanted to, which is great.
Yeah, do it. Yep. Go download it right now.
Yeah, they sign up for the newsletter. I send them a chapter out of the book to get them started.
Oh,
great.
Awesome. So, yeah, you can sign up for his newsletter there on his website, and you can get a free chapter of his book.
Oh,
wonderful.
Awesome.
And
yeah.
You can also go see us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com for your free ebook as well as or for our free ebook. So thank you, Gary. Very,
thank
very
you so
great
much.
Show. So appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you
and,
so much.
Thank
you for the chat room. It's been a fun time.
Go we'll do
thank
this
you
again,
everyone.
And you have a great evening.
Oh,
you
too, Gary. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Play our closing music, girlfriend.
You got it. You got it.